Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 45 of Your Birth Bestie podcast. Today, I'm going to help clarify the differences between prenatal genetic testing options, the types that are offered, how they are performed or collected, what the time frame looks like to maximize accuracy of those results, and what goes into the decision-making process on whether or not to choose genetic testing. These are some commonly asked questions in early pregnancy, and it's completely up to you whichever way you decide. There is no right answer. So I think you will find this helpful if it's something that you're considering and trying to better understand. If you do have follow-up questions about your own personal circumstances, I would love to hear from you over on Instagram at BethConnors_CNM. So send me a message there and I would love to chat. I also have recently opened enrollment into the virtual group pregnancy support program starting mid-February. So that would be another great space to bring all of your questions, hear my thoughts, other moms' experiences as well. We will be talking about topics related to pregnancy and birth options and interventions, mindset and pain coping techniques, birth planning, postpartum, breastfeeding, and so much more. We will have a topic each week, but it will mostly be a space to get all of your questions answered either live on Zoom or submitting your questions beforehand and watching the replay if you are unable to make it to the call that week. So I am so excited to get started in a few weeks and to learn more about the bonuses included in this program, like access to Fearless Birth Academy, my online self-paced birth course, and also my evidence-based resource library. Head over to BethConnors.com/group support, and you can save your spot and join me and a small group of like-minded women in just a few weeks. Hey there, I'm Beth Connors, a midwife and mom of two, but also your birth bestie. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into everything you need to feel confident, prepared, and in control, from baby bump to delivery room, from practical tips to personal stories. We'll cover it all so you know exactly what to expect every step of the way. Let's get into it. So let's first talk about what is genetic screening and how they are different from diagnostic tests. So genetic screening is a method used during pregnancy to identify potential genetic disorders or conditions in your developing baby. These may include conditions like Down syndrome, trisomy 18, and trisomy 13, among other things. The screening process may also identify the risk of specific genetic disorders based on your family history or your age. Unlike diagnostic tests that provide an actual definitive diagnosis, genetic screening gives you the likelihood of your baby having certain conditions. So it's important to remember that screening is a proactive step taken to understand the risk rather than confirm a diagnosis. So basically, you won't get a for sure diagnosis from a genetic screening test, but rather the odds of whether or not your baby will be born with a genetic condition is really the purpose of these screenings. Diagnostic tests, on the other hand, are done when there is a specific concern or a higher risk identified through those initial screenings. So diagnostic tests are the next step after having a positive screening test or a high likelihood of a genetic condition being present. These tests, such as amniocentesis or chorionic villus sampling, CVS, provide more information about the possible genetic abnormality that is a concern. So in essence, screening acts like an initial filter, helping healthcare providers really determine if further diagnostic testing would be recommended or not. The amniocentesis and chorionic villus sampling that I just mentioned as those diagnostic tests, those are also more invasive procedures. So rather than a blood test or an ultrasound in the screening test that we'll talk about much more in just a minute, an amniocentesis involves sampling of the amniotic fluid around your baby using a needle through your belly, and a CVS also, in the same way, takes a bit of placental cells to test. So this is why these tests are not performed unless there is really a good reason to do so. And based on where you're at in your pregnancy right now, you might be wondering when these certain genetic tests are recommended. So there are genetic screenings offered in the first and second trimesters, with the ideal timing depending on factors such as the type of screening, which we will talk about in a minute, and individual circumstances. Maternal age is one factor because there is an increased risk of chromosomal abnormalities for women becoming pregnant after the age of 35, and also a personal or family history of a genetic disorder or a previous child with a genetic condition may also elevate that risk. Either way, these screenings are not at all mandatory, and the decision to choose genetic screening is a very personal one. Expecting parents should discuss these factors with their healthcare provider, considering their values, beliefs, and also the potential impact of the information on their pregnancy journey before making a decision. So now let's go into the different types of genetic screenings available and really a more detailed look at when they can be accurately done. So there is the non-invasive prenatal testing, or NIPT. This can be done in the first trimester as early as 10 weeks, but can also be done at any time throughout your pregnancy. So there is no rush there at all. NIPT is also known as cell-free DNA testing, if you've heard it called this maybe. And it's a highly accurate screening test that looks at fetal DNA in the mom's blood. The chromosomal abnormalities tested include Down syndrome, trisomy 21, Edwards syndrome, which is trisomy 18, and Patau syndrome, that is trisomy 13. You can also determine the gender of your baby with this test, but it is not the only purpose of NIPT. If you are considering early genetic screening, NIPT is an option, and your clinic may do the Harmony test or Maternity 21. You might have heard these before, and both are cell-free DNA tests. These are just different names for the same thing. One side note, though, is before going ahead with any genetic screening, give your insurance carrier a call and see what your coverage is with your member benefits, really in regards to genetic screening, because they will be able to tell you exactly what is covered and what your out-of-pocket costs would be, and then, of course, what isn't. And I've had moms many times with a very large, unexpected, you know, $1,000 bill from a test that they only got because they thought it was covered. Otherwise, maybe they would have thought otherwise. So some parents only want to find out the gender using that NIPT as a way to do this. But there are also other ways to do this as well that are outside of your doctor's office. And one of these is called the sneak peek test. And you can actually do this at home really easily. It is about $75 to find out the sex of your baby as early as 6 weeks, so even earlier than your doctor can find out at that 10-week mark. So there are options there as well if this is something that you are interested in. I personally have done the sneak peek test three times. All three times it was accurate, said I was having girls, which I did confirm on ultrasound with this third baby. So it is very accurate. I haven't really heard of anybody not having a good experience with this test because it is so accurate. There are some maybe issues with contamination of a sample because you're at home around maybe male DNA, so you have to be really careful. But the test does give you lots of instructions on how to properly collect your blood sample. So an option there if you're just interested in finding out the sex of your baby. But back to those NIPT, the Maternity 21, the Harmony test, those cell-free DNA. This is a blood sample that's taken from you, and they are looking at DNA from the fetus and the placenta that circulates in mom's blood. This is why it's non-invasive, because there is really no harm to you or to your baby. This is a major advantage over the diagnostic tests that I mentioned before, because those do both carry a small risk of miscarriage, unfortunately. Accuracy of non-invasive fetal DNA testing has been proven to be very accurate with a greater than 99.5% detection rate. So as a result, it has really replaced genetic amniocentesis for most patients who previously would have chosen that option, and now also gives the same high level of reassurance to those lower risk moms without a risk to their pregnancy. And then as a side benefit, it can determine fetal sex with greater than 99% accuracy. The next type of genetic screen is called the first trimester screen, including a blood test like I just talked about, but it also includes a ultrasound as well. And this is done between 11 weeks and 0 days pregnant and 13 weeks and 6 days. This blood test measures specific markers in your blood, and the ultrasound measures the nuchal translucency, which is the thickness in the back of the fetal neck. So this combined information, that blood test with the ultrasound, helps to estimate the risks of conditions like Down syndrome and can reduce the number of patients being recommended those further invasive tests. Some moms want to have their 12-week nuchal scan and the non-invasive fetal DNA test done on the same day. However, because NIPT can be performed as early as 10 weeks, other patients may choose to have that blood test done at that 10-week mark as early as they can, and then come back for a nuchal scan, that ultrasound, or a combined screen at 12 or 13 weeks. And then the last type of screen can be done in that second trimester, so a little bit later, between 15 weeks and 0 days, and 20 weeks and 6 days. This test is called the quad screen, and it's a blood test that assesses the risks of neural tube defects like spina bifida and also chromosomal abnormalities. The test is actually looking for alpha fetal protein, AFP, which when elevated can indicate a greater chance for conditions like spina bifida, and actually when lower can be a marker for Down syndrome as well. So now that you have information about the options and more details, I did want to briefly mention what can go into that decision on whether to go ahead with genetic screening or to decline it. This is absolutely a personal choice that involves careful consideration of various factors, and to make an informed decision, it can be really helpful to have an open and honest discussion with your healthcare provider. Factors to consider include individual values, beliefs, and really the potential impact of the information on your decision making. You'll want to weigh the benefits of having information early in your pregnancy and detecting a potential concern and preparation against any potential emotional, physiological, or physical implications that might have. Some people, the test would change how they progress their pregnancy, and others, it really wouldn't. So this is an important distinction to make before moving forward. There are also practical aspects that can also be taken into account. Considerations may include the cost of screening, whether or not insurance covers the expense, and if financial assistance programs are available. Also, ethical considerations may come up, prompting parents to reflect on their stance regarding reproductive choices and the potential outcomes of the screening results. Each family situation is unique, and these conversations with healthcare providers can provide clarity on the available options, really empowering parents to make decisions aligned with their values and their own individual circumstances. When contemplating the emotional and psychological aspects of genetic screening, individuals should reflect on how they would handle different outcomes. Some may find comfort in knowing early on about potential challenges, allowing for more preparation and finding more support. But on the other hand, for some people, the uncertainty and the possibility of receiving really hard news might cause anxiety and impact the enjoyment of their pregnancy. It's really important to consider personal coping mechanisms, emotional resilience, and the availability of support systems. So ultimately, understanding one's emotional readiness and the potential impact on the pregnancy experience is really fundamental in making the decision on whether or not to choose genetic testing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode all about genetic screening. I hope you found this helpful and maybe thought-provoking on the choices that you have in your own pregnancy. I would love to talk through all things pregnancy, labor and birth prep, and support through postpartum in my upcoming virtual support group. So if you haven't checked it out already, here's your official invite to click on the link in the show notes, bethconnors.com/group support. Look through the program and reach out with any questions about getting started. I am so excited for you to experience the full excitement and potential of your best pregnancy and birth experience, having each choice be your own and one you feel informed and really confident about. I will be back here next Tuesday, so stay tuned for the next episode. Bye, everyone.